Our Bible reading this morning is found in James' letter, chapter 5, verses 13 through to 16. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. This is God's word.
A couple of years ago, I had the pleasure of sitting down and chatting with a pastor from Lebanon. Lebanon is a country where there's not a whole lot of persecution of Christians, but it's getting more difficult, steadily more difficult. And he was telling me his story about how he started his church, and it was pretty fascinating. And it's a bit of a long story, so I won't tell you the whole thing, but basically getting the land and building the church was a big drama. And it took about 20 years to get to the point where they finally had a building. And when they finally built a building, and they had a congregation of about 50 people, that was the very day that the first Syrian refugee showed up in Lebanon, fleeing the civil war. So this is back in 2011. And he said, when that first Syrian refugee showed up, they came to our church because it's right on the border, and they didn't ask us for help because they're a Muslim. But they were totally destitute and they didn't know what to do. And so as a church, even though we just finished our building, we finally had a place to meet after 20 years. We sat down and we discussed together, and I said to the church, we either have to turn this person away, and if we do that, we help none of the refugees, or if we choose to help this person, then we have to help everyone who comes. And this person is probably the first of thousands. And the church sat down and they discussed it. And they decided, we have to help this person. And so they made a decision, we will help anyone who comes. And this pastor explained to me that this decision, they probably made it a little bit too lightly, but it was an easy decision to make. Because for years and years and years, the church had been praying and they'd been calling out to God and saying, God, please make a way for us in Lebanon to reach the people of Syria. Because many of them have never had a chance to hear the gospel. God, make a way for us that we can reach out to the Syrian Muslims who haven't had a chance to hear your word. But they'd never anticipated that God's answer to that prayer would be for Syrian Muslims to come to their country and to come to their church. But God answers prayers in unusual ways. And that church, which I'll show you a picture from a little bit later on, that church of just 50 people has gone on to help about 2,000 Syrian refugee families, roughly 7,000 people, just 50 people themselves. And about 70% of the team who are helping the refugees now are a group from the refugees themselves, who have all become Christians through that church. Pretty amazing. But that is what God does through prayer. And God answers prayer in unexpected ways. And the persecuted church often ask us to pray in unexpected ways. But I have a short video to show you now from our founder. Has anybody read God Smuggler? You don't have to worry. You're not Pentecostal. Put your hand up if you've read God Smuggler. I see a few hands going up. So the guy who started Open Doors, his name is Brother Andrew. And he smuggled Bibles back into what was the Soviet Union, no longer around. And he has some amazing messages. And this one is on prayer. So we'll play that.
There's not in Jesus' life one unanswered prayer in his whole life. There is not in the Christian life either. Every prayer gets answered. But it may lie dormant for I don't know how many years. And now I may pray for someone that God puts in my heart. I've never met that person. I may not know anything. Maybe a name, maybe not. You plant in the spiritual field a seed. Your prayer, and it's coming out one day. It's going to bear fruit. The moment you hear a name, the moment you see something happen on television, victims, war. Reaction is always when something happens and you react. We should be ahead of that. There's no set rule, this long you pray. Pray as long as God urges you to pray, there's a burden on your heart, a thought, a dream. How is our prayer life? It eliminates all those easily occurring human problems and crises that we go through every day, because it makes you a different person. It lifts you to another level.
That is really the crux of prayer. If we understood it, we'd be on our knees crying out to God 100 times a day. And when I said push before, pray until something happens, I think it's our natural tendency, and it's certainly mine, to get disheartened by the third time you're praying for the same thing. And why hasn't it happened yet? Is God answering it in a way that I don't like and I'm ignoring? We need to keep praying. And there's no set rules around it. But sometimes we do get prayer wrong. And so it's good to have a guide of how to pray. And so one of the guides that we have is what was just read out by Kath before. We have that guide from James chapter 5. I'll read it again. It says, "Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick?" This may be very relevant for us soon. "Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered up in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they've sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." It's amazing that the prayer of a righteous person, as it says in the Bible, is powerful and effective. We know that when we pray, it is powerful and effective. And we should be praying for the salvations of everyone in Miranda, the Shire, and maybe, if you're feeling generous, Sydney. That's what we should be praying for. But the prayers of the persecuted church are often unexpected. I have a picture from Egypt. And Egypt is one of the most unexpected places of prayer. We had a pastor in Egypt a couple years ago. a team was meeting with him. And the team said, you know, we want to pray for you. We've heard about some of the difficulties you have in your church at the moment. Let us pray for you now. And right before they prayed for him, the pastor stopped them. This Egyptian pastor said, don't pray for me. Because often when Westerners come, they make the same mistake every time. They come and they say they're going to pray for me, and then they pray and they ask God to make my difficulties less and, you know, more people to come to church who don't want to kill us. But that's not what God wants. I don't want you to pray for me. I want you to pray with me. And this is my prayer, that everyone in Egypt would come to know the truth about Jesus. He said everyone in Egypt knows who Jesus is, but they don't know the truth about Jesus. And that's how we need to be praying, in unexpected ways. Now, this photo is just a random photo from a conference in, I think it's Nigeria. You can see the church is kind of a little bit blown up, which is the case of many churches in Nigeria, but it doesn't stop God's people meeting together, as it never should. If the roof was blown off this church, I'm sure you'd all continue to show up and pray together, as we should. But I can't show you a picture of the person I wanted to in Africa, so I just thought I'd show you this picture. But not this picture, the picture before. In Africa, there's a pastor in particular. That's Egypt, the African congregation. In Africa, now that's Syria. Never mind. The picture of the congregation you saw before. So, in Africa, there's a pastor in particular who, his story is just absolutely miraculous, and I don't hear many stories like this, which means you probably almost never hear stories like this. I wanted to share it. There was a very dedicated Muslim man who was at his home one day, and he was praying, and he was saying, you know, God, I want to know who you really are. God, I have no idea. I've been trying to serve you all my life, and I just feel frustrated. I feel like I never get any closer to you, and I want to know who you are. He was praying, and eventually he got a knock at the door. And a man was there who he'd never met before, he didn't recognize, and he asked to come in. He said, yeah, sure, come in and sit down with me. And they started to talk about God and who God really was. And this took him by surprise. But he continued to discuss with this man. And then eventually this man said, look, I can tell you who God is. And his name is Jesus. And he came to save the whole world so that man could know God and have a relationship with him. And he asked him, how do you know this? And this man said, oh, well, because I am Jesus. And then with that, he disappeared. And this man thought, that is very odd, that this man named Jesus would suddenly show up as I was praying to God and say that Jesus is God. I better read a Bible. And so he went and he found a Bible and he started reading it, and things which he hadn't understood before suddenly made sense about Jesus being God. And he decided that he was now going to be a Christian and he was going to lead his family in that. When his wife got home later that afternoon, he went up to his wife and he said, I had something weird happen today. Imagine trying to explain this. He said, I had something weird happen today. I met with a man called Jesus and I found out he was God, and now we're going to be Christians. And she said, there's no way that happened. And he said, it's true. I met with Jesus and we had a conversation. And then she said, there's no way. It's not possible. And she kept insisting it was impossible. He kept insisting it was Jesus. And so eventually he said, look, if you don't believe me, you pray to Jesus, and then he's going to meet with you. And so that night she said, God, if you're real, Jesus, if you're real and you really met with my husband, come and meet with me tomorrow. Have the conversation with me. And so the next day, her husband went out to work and she was home that day. And when he came home that night, before he said anything, she said, Jesus came by the house today. And I agree, we should be Christians now. Now, just so you know, that's a story that never happens anywhere. It's not as though it happens a lot in the persecuted church. That is very unusual. But this family went from being Muslim to leading a church. And there's not many things that make that big a turnaround in life. And there is scriptural evidence to say that Jesus does reveal himself to some people. One being Saul, who then went on to write about a third of the New Testament. But there's an unusual story of prayer, crying out to God to make himself known, and then to the people whom God hears a genuine prayer offered up in faith, as it says in James, he will respond. Because prayer is powerful and effective. And now another instance of prayer is where this image took place. This image is from Lebanon, at that church I was telling you about before. And in that church where they care for these 2,000 families. Absolutely amazing. The families who are there as refugees, they live in terrible conditions. But better conditions than if they had to still be in Syria and caught in the middle of a civil war. So this woman, with some children there, they're carrying a food pack, which is one of the things that Open Doors have been doing to help these people. She is part, or people much like her, a part of the second congregation at that church. So the church meets together the first time during the day as a regular church, just like this one. They sing songs together, they pray together, and they're Christians. They read the Bible together. But at the second congregation, at their version of the 6 p.m., it's not just a young people congregation. It's a congregation for veiled Muslim women. And at this congregation of veiled Muslim women, at the beginning of the service, they're invited to share what their prayer was from last week. And how Jesus answered it. And then at the end of the congregation, the pastor asks, do you have any prayer for Jesus this week that he can answer? And one week, one of the veiled Muslim women, she stood up and she said, I have a prayer for Jesus to answer. My husband was working in the field in this last week and he broke his arm. And we've been able to get him medical attention, but for the next month, we're not going to be able to support our family. I don't know what we're going to do. He's unemployable. And this pastor said, oh, okay, very good. Sit down. Anybody else? But he was touched particularly by her story. Even with 2,000 families to feed, this pastor was touched by this one woman who prayed to Jesus to provide for their family over the next month. And so even though the Christian congregation had met earlier, he asked them to come back together and to do a special offering, even though they were already supporting these 2,000 families, a special offering to support her family for the next month. And so the Christians prayed about it and then gave. And then he went and delivered it to her tent and said, the Christians have met together and Jesus wants to bless you in this way. And she was overcome because that had been her prayer and her prayer was answered. But her husband, who was still a faithful Muslim man, was very conflicted. And he didn't know what to do about this. He had to accept the money because he had no other way of supporting his family. But to accept it from Christians and to accept it because it was Jesus who'd given it to them was a very difficult thing for him to do. And so he had to wrestle with this. And after a few days of turmoil in his soul, he decided that he was going to go to the mosque. And when he got to the mosque, he went up to the leader, the sheikh who was at the front. And he said to the sheikh, "All my life, I have been a good Muslim. But I want you to memorize my face now. Because in my time of need, when my family was desperate, you people who I'd called brothers all my life did nothing. But the Christians who I was told to hate from a young age, they were the ones who showed me mercy. And so now, me and my whole family are going to be Christian. And you are never going to see us again." And by prayer, we are seeing this happen again and again and again. These miracles as every week people are giving their lives to the Lord. This prayer that was, you know, prayed by Lebanese Christians for years and years to reach these Syrian Muslims. God is answering that prayer. And as we pray, God will answer our prayer as well. So if you read the next few verses in James chapter 5, you get this incredible response to prayer. In verse 17 it says, Elijah was a human being. I put myself in that category too. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crop. This is an encouragement. If you think of yourself as a human being, and if you don't, maybe chat to Heath about it, because there's a lot of issues there you need to work through. But if you think of yourself as a human being, then there is power in your prayer as you pray to the God who made the heavens and the earth. It is powerful, and is it effective? But we've got to be praying in accordance with God's will. And the prayers of the persecuted church are so unexpected, and they give us an insight into how we can be praying. So I have another video to show you, but after that video, we're going to enter a time of prayer together, where I would encourage you to just maybe turn to 2 or 3 people who are around you, and I'll give us some prayer points. But here is a video of somebody who has an unexpected prayer from the persecuted church.
Yes, my name is Esther. In the next of my daga chicken, Medbury, Borno State. In a shakara issue.
Ina ganin ubangiji gaske yana kauna na baran taba kwatanta abinda ubangiji ya ma rayuwa na ba ina so na sosai kamar ni ne yafi so ma a cikin duniya gaba daya ni suna kata addu'a na shine Allah ya sa kuma mu gane maganar ka mu dace ta fanyar hanyar sa har a lokacin da Yesu zai zo kuma a taya mu da addu'a Allah yana ringa tana da mana da abinci da abun biyan bukatu Ya Ubangiji Allah damu mu a wannan lokaci da zamu zo bika maka musamman ta kasamu Najeriya ya Allah Ubangiji duk inda rikice-rikice take tashiwa Ubangiji Allah ka so kuma da ikonka ka dubi ayanka da ido rahama ya Allah Ubangiji duk masu shiri mugunta ka shirye su ka shiga cikin birni zukatan su kada ka kashe su amma ka maido su ta fanni hanyarka ka ba mu kuma lafiyan jiki mun ga wannan rana ka ba mu dogon kwana Ubangiji Allah. Mun gode maka.
So that is Esther. And that is her prayer. An unbelievably unexpected prayer that she would ask people to still pray for her nation and that people would come to know Jesus. And that is one of the things Open Doors is doing. We're working in trauma care programs for women like Esther. We're doing lots of programs around the world. Well, I'd love it now if we could just turn to each other and pray. And I have three prayer points here from different kind of regions and areas that need a lot of prayer. And these are three prayers that I believe kind of align with what we should be praying for. And so I'll read those out. In Ethiopia, pray for the Ethiopian church, which is divided. Pray that they would come together so that they can more effectively reach out. In Myanmar, reaching children is very difficult. So pray for effective programs to reach children. In Kenya, one particular village was attacked, and many churches, I know it's many churches, were destroyed. Pray that they would continue meeting together. And in Bangladesh, pray for young people who are attending a discipleship seminar, which is coming up in 2 months' time. These are prayer points not from ages ago. This is happening right now. Pray for a seminar coming up in Bangladesh for young people. So if we could turn around and pray now, and I'll close us off in just a couple minutes. Father, we thank you that we can meet together and we don't need to worry about opposition. But Lord, we know that many people are, and those people who are focused on you. Lord, we pray that you would reward that focus with greater joy, greater love for you and for one another. Lord, we ask for the people in our suburbs at the moment who might be fearful, that from this fear they would come to know you. Lord, we pray for incredible opportunities as a result of this virus, as a result of where Australia is at the moment, Lord, that people would hunger and thirst for your word. And Lord, we ask that you would make our hearts ready to receive them. You would help give us the answers to unusual questions they may have. And Lord, we trust that you will guide us, but we ask that you would give us the boldness to follow through as these opportunities arise. Amen.